Hey marketers, if you want to get the latest news, trends, and insights in marketing, advertising, and tech, check out the Adweek Podcast Network. Learn from leading voices across media and marketing with original shows like Yeah, That's Probably an Ad, Marketing Vanguard, and Tech Magic with Kathy Hackle. Start listening now by searching Adweek wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code ADWEEK, that's ADWEEK, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And what's up, everybody? Welcome back to today's episode. You all are in for a treat today. We're talking all things skincare and self-care as we welcome Pepe Barrasso here as he talks about the brand that he's been partnering with, Veganist, as he helps expand its reach beyond Spain and Europe and all the above. And we just started talking about our favorite things. We talk about scents and smell and breaking an Argentinian brand into Europe and beyond and drugstore pricing. And we just break it all down. And I love this topic. I love talking skincare and just self-care, period. So we have a failed day, but we spared you all. We didn't go down too many rabbit holes about products, even though we could have. So if you like skincare, if you like products, if you just want to hang out and learn about things. I don't know where I was going with that. This is the episode for you. So let's get into today's episode with Pepe.
And Pepe, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you very much. Very good. Very excited to be here talking with you. Thank you very much for taking your time to speak with me.
Of course. Before we get started, I usually do a question, but I'm changing it because it's Spotify rap season. Do you have Spotify and what were your top artists, if you don't mind sharing?
I do. Let me check this real quick. I haven't listened to that much music this year, which was very weird. Let me see, because I was trying to see this the other day also.
I'm always just curious whatever people are listening to.
What's yours?
Okay, so mine were Taylor Swift was my number one, then Ed Sheeran, then Ziggy Albert, who's an Australian indie artist,
okay,
and then JP Cooper from the UK, and I forgot number five, but those were like my top four.
Okay. Mine.
I thought it was gonna be different, but yeah.
Rolling Stones.
Okay.
First one. Elvis, the second.
Okay.
I like more classic music. You won't find any reason artist. Frank Sinatra, number third.
Oh, okay. Come on, we like that.
I'm not sure. This is a Julio Iglesias. Monica, she's here. She'll probably laugh on the background.
Yeah, I love Julio.
He's a big Spanish classic. Glenn Campbell is also here. But yeah, usually it's on the classic rock side.
Okay, I like it. I'm here for it. No, yeah. I like during 2020, 2021, I went through like a 70s classic rock phase where I was going to listen to like Bread, Queen, Doobie Brothers. And then I went through like my Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, and then like 50s like crooners vibe. And then reset back to like my like emo pop punk from like the 90s to the 2000s. So, you know, I call it range, you know, I like it.
good. I see some variety, which is good. I should vary some more of my on my playlists.
But before we get into everything that you're up to now, since we're here to talk about skincare and all that, what was the role that like kind of skincare and wellness played in your life growing up? Were you a big like health person and skincare and self-care person, or did that come later on in life?
It's interesting because it really came later on in my life. There's a funny story behind. I mean, the first contact I really had, I mean, obviously besides my mom putting cream on me when I was a baby, I used to be a goalkeeper and European football soccer goalkeeper, and every time we came back when the season was over and we came back for preseason, as we played in turf, we would always get like very like big scratches on the side of your legs, right? Because of sliding on the ground. And I hated playing with long pants. I know this is a weird story. I would get to the point.
No, I'm here for it.
and my other teammate also hated playing with long trousers, you know, and for some reason he wasn't getting the same scars that I was getting. So I was like, you know, why is this? I asked him and he was like, well, I heard of a trick that it actually seems it's working, and he used to rub like a lot of cream on his side legs. Mm-hmm. So every time he slid on the ground after that, it would kind of make him like slide a bit more, so he wouldn't get the deeper cuts, I guess. And I started using it there, and then you know your body seems it reacts to everything you bring him in. Either it's food or cosmetics, whatever it is. So it I feel like it obviously accepted it well, and since then it kind of like became a necessity and a routine in my life, you know. And that's where I kind of like started to be a bit more concerned. And then obviously girlfriend helps and other factors which. They try to make you look better and at least take care of yourself. You know, they worry about long term, whereas we sometimes are worrying more on the day to day basis. Yeah. and that's where veganism came in. I do acting as a passion, and but I also grew up in a very business oriented environment, and I love entrepreneuring. It is what I studied, what I formed myself with, and I value a lot the good ethics for my pronunciation behind the brand, you know, and that's kind of like in that moment that's where Veganis came in, and I fell in love with their values. You know, it's as I told you at another conversation we had, I didn't found it. I'm no goal finder or anything similar yet. Maybe in the future, but yeah, I met the founders of this brand that grew up in Argentina. It was founded a few years ago, and as I told you, I fell in love completely with it because of their sustainable values and because of their ethics. We spend a lot of money. Investigating every day on trying to become a better brand, you know, for the planet and for ourselves. So that's why we count with a cruelty-free tags, with some good sustainable tags also. And as I told you, we're constantly improving and trying to give another grain to the world. And it's kind of like for me the same mentality that I use with my body. You know, everything all the work you put in, even if it's exercise, if it's food, cosmetics, anything you use that helps it, and it pays it back, you know. And with the world, I believe it's like that also, you know. I don't like to take for granted anything that's been given to me, and it's my way of giving back. And yeah, I met the owner, met the team, fell in love with them. It's a family owned business, and I admire family owned businesses, especially that are able to maintain in time. And I decided to get the license and import it here in Europe. So it's what I'm distributing now in Europe.
And so, like, how did that conversation start? Was it, did you like just come across the brand and you reached out to them, or kind of how did that go? I think you said that, I know you touched on it briefly, but how did that conversation kind of start?
So it all started because I launched a sustainable clothing brand also a few years ago. And through that, I was able to, in some trips I made to Argentina, I was able to meet with the owners of a very known brand in Argentina called Etiqueta Negra, which it did have a few shops in the US. And they offered me to get the license of that brand and distribute it in Europe. But one of the closer persons to the owner of the brand was the owner of Veganis, you know, and he was talking to me about it. And I was honest with him, you know. I try to be an honest person. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. but yeah. So I told him, you know, like the type of projects I'm trying to be involved. I'm a young guy, and I want to portray, you know, and give a good impact in any size of job or project I get involved in. You know, even if it's extremely little or a big project, you know. I try to implement that that healthy environment and those values that I feel they are needed nowadays, you know. And I told him, you know, I love the brand; it's amazing, but maybe not might be the moment for me right now to work on this. But on the other side, I saw this other brand that you guys also have, and this is something that I can work on in Europe. And they were very happy about it. I was even happier. And then, you know, we started negotiating, and it was very easy for both sides to come to an agreement. And yeah, we've been working on it post COVID. And here we are now.
No, but you brought up a good point too, just about like, you saying that you kind of like it was based, you liked it based off of like previous eco-conscious things that you've done in the past. Cause I feel like a lot of times, like people, whether it's licensing or investing in, they'll jump on a brand or do a partnership with the brand and it doesn't really make sense to what they've done in the past. And then people can tell they're like, okay, why is this person working with this brand or why are they doing that? Like nothing lines up, but you touching on being like, no, this, I like value this and this matched up with like previous things that I've done. That makes sense. And I feel like that's just always key and important for people, whether they're looking at doing collaborations or just doing business with, is to make sure that your values and stuff line up with whoever you're about to work with and that it tracks out, because people can tell if it's something that can come across as just a cash grab or something that you're just doing for clout.
Exactly, just to get the check. And in the end, I mean, it's a bigger risk and it's a bigger investment, you know. But in the end, I feel like it will pay off, and we have to start at some point. I think this is everything nowadays. What we live, I mean, we live on a trend, you know, and it constantly changes. But I think there's something that we need to implement nowadays that has to maintain throughout the following years. And it's just a very humble, small call to young entrepreneurs, you know, that hey, you know, it's hard to start a business in any sector, but it's even harder if you even still want to portray these values, you know, and be loyal to them. But I believe it will pay back sometime at some point in your life, you know, and hopefully I'm meeting a lot of young entrepreneurs also that they are also working in this more sustainable chain industry, you know. And in the end, I feel like it's where we all need to get to. And if just as individuals, we can obviously do something, but as a collective group, we can do more.
Yeah, and I agree. I feel like we're now seeing a lot of move where brands are like being really conscious on whether it's single-use plastic or glass or whatever to really put that extra work into it. Because a lot of people are now like, no, I've seen the documentaries. Like, I know what it's doing. And they also want to be conscious of where their money's going and knowing that it's with the business that's whether trying to plant trees or, like, help with, like, ocean wildlife or things like that. So I feel like that's just key for people to kind of know, with also through social media, through their mission statement and stuff, that if they support this business is not just like saying they're, you know, doing good for the planet, but they can actually see it, whether that's through social campaigns or pictures and things. Do you guys do, when you're working with them, do you all try to do like social videos or things to kind of like show that eco-conscious aspect of the brand, or how did those conversations usually go about?
Yeah, so they really did an amazing job in South America, and they are expanding in the US. And on my side, I'm the one who's working in Europe, in the European market. And in the end, you know, it's also different markets. So I try to be loyal to their strategy, what they did in Argentina. But in the end, it's the European market, it's much more packed with competition, and to be able to find those differential points and as you say, and to portray them, you know, in our social media or whatever communication we use. But so we are trying to being loyal to their values and to their strategy. We are still trying to do all kind of like our own thing, especially directed to what the visuals, you know, and the aesthetics of it, because as I told you, I mean, as you probably know, also the US and European markets are much more competitive in the cosmetic sector. Mm-hmm. We are targeting young people, we're trying to do, I mean, we're doing a lot of collaborations with many young cool brands that also share these values, or some that don't, but they're looking for ways to do it, and we're offering them a kind of like a way. It is what we're doing. They have 65 references in Argentina of different products, and we are starting with the body products. Then we will bring the capillaries, and then the face products. And in the end, it's trying to find a way, you know, to reach the good target group that the likes of product, that consumes it, and trying to fidelize the clients.
And you read up a good point too, that the US and Europe, both markets are crowded. Like, you have so many popular skincare brands and stuff. What is something that you feel that this is that they offer that's different than kind of like what's in the marketing? Kind of like, how are you getting word out, letting people know how it's different?
What we are offering in the end is a very good product. It's not a luxurious product. You know, it's a lotion that is accessible to the mass market. You know, and we have a very good price, and it's a good product. You're buying at a good price, and also, you know, it's the ethics we have behind. You know, that I believe it differentiates us to the rest of the other brands. So it's all the combinations, I guess. I wouldn't point us in a very precise market, because we are not luxury, we are not mass market either. It's kind of like an in between, you know, and it's our values in the end. It's kind of like what I was telling you before. In the end, it has more costs for us to be a more sustainable brand, obviously, and we need to not. I'm not looking for bigger margins. I'm looking more for reaching out the maximum amount of people possible, you know, and function in a way also with the physical shops we will be on the following months, to also create a very sustainable change, you know, from the fabricants to the distribution points. So in the end, it's hard to find your space in the market, but we have a very solid background, and the brand is being very popular. So we believe it's going to be a very good product in the end we're going to be selling.
Hey there, podcast fam. Are you ready to break free from the social media rut? Hold on to your hats because we've got just the thing for you. Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for leveling up your online presence. Whether you're a personal brand or a company, they've got the tools and know-how to take you to the next level. With Viral Growth, forget about those endless hours of video editing. They handle everything from brainstorming to polishing your content so you can just focus on being awesome. And guess what? We're hooking you up with a sweet deal. Use code ADWEEK for 10% off when you sign up. Ready to take your social media game to the next level? Head on over to viralgrowth.io and let's turn those digital dreams into a reality.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big MQL man. Then he just kept saying things like, the more MQLs, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means marketing qualified lead. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the MQL man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/generate to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/generate. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And you brought up a good point, too. I feel like right now we're seeing that kind of the mid-tier brands, like you said, that Veganist really touches on. I feel like those are the brands right now that are kind of getting all the attention, whether it's via social or in stores, versus like the, because a lot of people I feel like are now like, there's no reason I need to spend $200 on a body cream or $50 on a lotion when I can get, I don't know, like another one at this place that does just as much and just as effective. So I feel like that's so key.
I mean, and in the end, if you get deep into the compositions, they are all very, very similar. You know, it's just a matter of branding and the credibility it has, you know, and one strategy we are doing here, for example, to gain that credibility is approaching the pharmacies, you know, which is, I never saw them as our main selling point. But it's getting such a good reception mm-hmm. that I'm being very surprised, you know, and in the end, why not? You know, so we are approaching more and more and they're very happy with the product in the end. I mean, it also adds up to the point we were talking about before, you know, they are targeting also the pharmacies, new generations, younger public, mm-hmm. and, they don't want to be associated just with the typical pharmaceutical products, you know, that they sent you from hospital, you know, and they want to bring other brands, newer, younger, with different values, and our aesthetics are very, you know, flowery. They're very eye catching, and as you can imagine, obviously pharmacies are not very flowery and eye catching. So on the aesthetics way, it's getting a very good reception, and also they are loving the product. You know, so in the end, it's. It's something that I didn't expect, and I feel we've kind of like coincided on the same moment as they're trying to open to these new ways of consumption, and it gives young brands and young people that are trying to get into the market, it gives them a good chance, you know, because in the end it's a very meticulous selling point that we never thought we were going to be able to approach, and it's. And as of now, it's where we're getting the most sales and attention.
Because I feel like with a lot of the thing that you really touched on here, we're talking about like really accessibility. And I feel like a lot of times like younger consumers and people on the go, they don't always have time to go, say, like downtown or to a mall or to a center where a lot of these skincare stores are. Like they want to be able to, you know, as they're walking to work or coming home, and the drugstores and pharmacies are usually the most convenient in most places there. So really, that's really prime real estate, because that's where a lot of people are going to go to first, because they want to go somewhere that's like close by, convenient, that's not out the way. So that's really, like you said, that's really like a key indicator there for people to really discover who you are and really kind of get that firsthand approach.
Exactly. And for me, it's also, I mean, as a consumer, as a possible consumer of the brand, you know, in the end, I'm a person that that doesn't like to go to hospitals. I've made my mom stitch my cuts since I was a very young guy, and I don't know. It just, you know, it like some people don't like to go to airports, you know, and it kind of like gives me the same feeling also with pharmacies, you know. I kind of like get, I don't know. I had a bad experience when I was very little, and it's just like it's something that I don't want to process. I don't like to process, you know, and how can I substitute, you know, taking all this medicine and when I feel sick or whatever, you know. I try to live up a healthier lifestyle in a way, you know. I take extremely cold baths every day. I take extremely hot saunas every day to you know, generate a better immune system. And in the end, these products are in between more natural and that can also give the credibility, you know, that in the end, if they're in a pharmacy, you know, they're going to be a solid product, mm-hmm. you know. They're not selling any type of cosmetics, you know. So it kind of like it works in that in between world also for me, you know. It's a product that for me as a consumer, you know, if I went to a pharmacy because I need it, I'll be like, okay, you know, if they're opening to this like new, more natural, more eco-friendly, sustainable sector, you know, it catches my attention and it makes me want to go in and hopefully buy veganis.
No, I feel, and I don't know if we touched on it earlier, but can you kind of give us like a recap of like the current products that the brand currently has right now and like what's offered? And I don't know if we touched on it earlier.
Yeah, so we offer right now body lotions, and we are bringing in some facial moisturizers, some hand soaps also with exfoliants, and rose water, and serums we will be integrating for the next couple of weeks. And then, as I told you, you know, we will be bringing in some shampoos, conditioners. We have 65 references, and in the end, I have a very good also position because I can see what is working more in the original marketplaces, and depending on what I see that works, I bring certain products and I hold on with different ones.
And you bringing up rose water. Rose water, honestly, rose water and rose hip oil saved my face. I'm going to go down a rabbit hole. I had like a huge breakout when I first moved to Miami. And okay. like, I don't know what happened, but my skin was just like going through it. And I just had bad okay. scarring and all that. And I like went in and somebody told, because I'm like that too. I don't like going into like a dermatologist or whomever. If I can find a home remedy or something, I will use it.
Yeah.
And this person, I met a girl, she's from Colombia, and she was like, oh, like you need to try rose hip oil. Like it's so good. And rose water, it'll rebalance your face. I kid you not. I used that religiously for like a good solid 3 months. My face cleared up so fast. Like my face like truly transformed. So you saying that you guys are using rose water, like for people who are like, I don't know about that. That stuff does wonders. I also use it every day still, like rose water.
And I have to say I'm glad it helped through that breakthrough. But also on my side, I mean, it's interesting because I've never imagined, you know, I would be testing these products or be involved in this sector, you know. And with rose water, I mean, the original brand told me, you know, it's not one of our star products, you know, but I tried it once and the smell of it, I'm a person that I'm obsessed with smells. And I remember, you know, the first feeling when I was like washing my face with it, I was like, hold on, this smells brilliant. Like I need it. I want it. Send me please thousands of it because I want to sell it in Europe.
I don't know if I'm like, rose is my favorite scent, I think. Well, rose, tobacco, I like musky, woodsy scents, but also rose is also uh-huh. my favorite scent. I don't, because I feel like when it comes to like skincare and products, you have the people who are like, oh, it like scents too powerful, and usually they have all these chemicals in it. Like, what are ways that you guys implement like fragrances and stuff to still align with the like clean values? Because I feel like that's something that comes up.
You have so many natural oils that can give you those scents. You know, maybe they might not be that strong, but in the end, I mean, the have you seen the movie The Perfume?
Oh, uh-huh.
For example, originally perfumes were made for skin, not for clothing, you know. So they were more oily, more, you know, and more natural in a way, obviously. And in the end, that's kind of like a way we're trying to implement, you know. In the end, we're constantly growing also, for example, and we still have plastic packaging. And we are working on aluminium now to switch to aluminium. We also have these refills that they use. They're composed with 75% of the plastic that we use for the original packaging. And once you open it, they decompose in 30 days. So what we're trying to go to is to that aluminium solid packaging that you have stable in your bathroom. And you buy the refill in the end. It's the more sustainable way that we're trying to implement. And with the oils, it's kind of like works in the same way, you know. Also, it's ways we're working on to add up to our final final formula, you know, to be that natural, solid cosmetic that you can use, you know, and it's mainly through oils, through essential oils that you can get from many natural rose, vanilla. I don't know, many. You have many options, but in the end, it's through that mainly.
And do you have like whenever you guys are coming up with like the different products? Like I know you said sharing some things. Like how are you deciding on like which scents and stuff to go with? Because I know the markets are definitely different from Europe compared to South America. So like, are you kind of taking into account being like, these are the popular scents and things that I'm seeing based off here compared to where you are? Or like, how does that play into a development?
Especially in the first strategies, what I'm trying to implement is also using, I'm approaching more the Mediterranean market, in a way, and there are certain products that have in the formula, you know, a strong percentage of oils from olives, for example. So I'm or oranges, which are very typical. So mostly the ingredients or the plants, fruits, any that's original or to the Mediterranean. You know, I feel like, as I told you, I'm obsessed with smells, and there are certain smells that always bring me back, even though, I mean, wherever I travel, you know, there's just like certain... I was just recently, for example, shooting in a series in Rome, and I discovered this wonderful orange tree garden, and it was like not hidden. I mean, it was pretty popular, but... And it was like closed up orange tree garden, beautiful views of the city of Rome. And as soon as I stepped in, it gave me that typical orange tree smell, you know, that it just brings me back to when I was very little, you know, because I don't know, we used to have a few orange trees in a house in the country my family had in Spain. And it's this what I'm trying to play also with, you know, because in the end I'm a person also that whatever I use, I like to feel identified with it also. Not just in the values of the brand, but also in the smells. The perfume I use or whatever it is, you know, and this is what I'm trying to play also. So mostly with the smells.
No, that's a good
and the ingredients that we use are mostly typical from the Mediterranean.
No, that's a good point that you brought that up, because I feel like a lot of times that people, like, if you don't have a connection to it and you're just like putting out a scent or whatever, it's hard to like kind of like sell that, whether you're trying to be a distributor or anything. It's like, if you don't have that connection. So I think you talking about like, I have this connection with it also helps convey that message to others to get into it.
It's like music, for example. We were talking previously about music, you know, what music do you listen to? The one you feel identified with or the one you connect with, you know? And I believe, you know, the most loyal consumers are the ones that feel identified or feel that connection with your product, you know? So it's what I try to work on mostly.
And then like going into like more of the like getting up close and personal with consumers and future consumers, are you doing like any like in-person pop-ups or things to kind of let people get more of a hands-on approach and really welcome it to Europe? Or like how are you kind of getting, kind of like spreading that awareness, that brand awareness out there?
with, as I told you before, like with collaborations, for example, with brands that have been a bit more established in different sectors. But as I told you, I mean, I as of collaborations, I don't have a single a condition to work with anyone. You know, I don't care whatever brand it is, whatever product they sell, they can always be more sustainable, they can always be more eco-friendly. So that's where we pop in, you know. And in the end, it's we can work with a hamburger company, a hairdresser, a sock company, whatever it is. You know, I believe in the end, it's what I told you. It doesn't necessarily need to be according to your product, you know, which I feel conditions you a lot. It really has to be with a meaning and with the value that goes behind it. You know, that's why I believe it. You can really collaborate with any brand, really. And I feel like this is also a differential point of us, you know, that we don't say no to anyone. We're open to every single brand, honestly.
Yeah, I feel like that's key. Like, as long as, like, they kind of, like you said, match up with, like, your values and you all have the same mission, that could really be a burger company. It could be a soccer line. It could be whatever, as long as there's kind of like that touch point. But if it's just somebody random who they're like, I don't know, not sustainable or not whatever, then people are going to be like, okay, like, what is this? But I think if you both have the same.
But for example, I mean, talking about the hamburger, because I had this confrontation in my team internally. They were, Pippa, are you crazy? Like, we're called veganis. We're kind of like, we're a vegan cosmetic brand. And I'm like, hold on. Yes, we are, but we can offer them also a different possibility. You know, it's we can offer them a vegan alternative through a collaboration, a packaging that they can recycle, many different possibilities that you can. And it gets the message, you know, and in the end, it portrays also through their clients. It opens up a new, different line of awareness.
Because I feel like that's also key, because it's like you're not just like breaking off into like expanding your own, like you're also tapping into that brand, that collaborator's audience too. And then they're like, oh, there's this company and they also have the same thing. And then, so it's like it's a two-way street. It's a win-win for everybody, which I think is very powerful and very important whenever working with people, to make sure that like, A, you guys are on the same page, but then also everybody, like it benefits not just your business, but everybody's going to leave the table with something.
Exactly.
And for my last question, for everybody that's listening, that was like, oh, cool, Veganist does this and they do that, blah, 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 and they're sustainable. I feel like a lot of times people are like, oh, trying to create sustainable products or do the whatever that way is so expensive and it's not scalable. What advice do you have for like people or brands who want to create more eco-friendly like products and packaging but feel like it's too expensive or don't know where to start?
Well, take the risk. You know, I've always been obsessed since I was very little with less is more. And it also works with quantities. You know, sometimes producing less and involving these materials, you know, and producing less and involving more expensive materials. But in the end, it I believe it works, because it also adds more value. And it means you care more. And in the end, I don't know, I always try to buy stuff that I see that people really care of their own thing, you know. And it's, Veganis is my little family, you know, and I treat it like that. And hopefully I can portray also on all the work that we do. So to all young entrepreneurs that feel that fear, you know, take the risk. In the end, you have to do it, and you won't succeed in any business if you do not ever take that risk. And if it's, in the end, it's not just for you. It's for a bigger cause than us.
Yeah, it's like, and that's, you brought up a good point. It's like, you don't have to. I feel like a lot of times, whether people are like starting a new business or anything, they feel like they immediately need to produce like 5 million things or do this. And no. It's like, you can start with like one product or kind of, and scale as you go. Like, you don't have to have a full line of whatever if you want to.
Listen, I'll give you an example. I've had, for example, a meeting with probably the biggest distributor in Spain, And they told me that there was something that they needed, obviously, and it was particular. I'll tell you, it was particular about the packaging. You know, they it threw them off that it was, for example, a more plastic packaging. And I told them that we were working on the aluminium option. And as soon as I told them that, they were like, okay, we love the brand. We can see it's a good product. And we will wait for you. If you give us this, if you provide this to us, we will buy you a certain amount of quantity, you know, in the end. So they saw that there was someone behind the brand that cared. They saw that they had some a predisposition, you know, to get involved and to become better and to improve and in the end and to take that risk that I was telling you. So it did pay off. You know, they were waiting for us to reach that turning point, and we reached it, and now they're completely open for us for our distribution. So in the end it pays back. I can 100% tell you that they're looking for these differential points.
Well, you heard it here first, people. Just take the risk. Pepe, thank you so much for being here and giving us all these gems.
Thank you for taking your time. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for your time.
Wow, how great was this episode? If you were like me, you probably took a lot of notes and have a lot of questions and comments. So if you do, feel free to add us at Adweek across Twitter, Instagram, all the social medias. And we'd love to hear from you all. And feel free to give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. That always helps us. And we can't wait to hear from you all and see you in the next episode. So bye, everybody. Thank you for listening to Young Influentials, part of the Adweek Podcast Network and Acast Creator Network. This podcast was produced by Al Manarino, executive produced by Chris Aarons, and edited by Lane McGibney at Bountiful Studios. You can listen and subscribe to all Adweek's podcasts by visiting adweek.com/podcasts. Stay updated on all things Adweek Podcast Network by following us on Twitter at Adweek Podcast. And if you have a question or suggestion for the show.
Hey there, are you ready to elevate your personal brand or company? Meet Viral Growth, your one-stop shop for video content and audience building. Imagine growing your brand organically on social media without the hassle of editing videos for hours. With Viral Growth, it's a breeze. They handle the brainstorming, scripting, and editing while you simply just hit record. And don't worry about your niche. They cater to everyone, from business and marketing to health and wellness. Are you ready to make waves in the social media realm? Visit viralgrowth.io and use code Adweek, that's A-D-W-E-E-K, all lowercase, and get 10% off your plan.
Send us an email at podcast@adweek.com.